TC. This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Diane Roberts. A prosecutor said Wednesday that the man charged with killing seven people when he unleashed a hail of bullets on an Independence Day parade in a suburb of the U.S. city of Chicago, Illinois, confessed to police that he fired on the crowd. In Robert E. Crimmo's III's first court appearance, an Illinois judge ordered the suspected gunman to be held without bail. Crimmo faces seven murder counts as questions emerge about how he was able to legally buy five weapons despite what some call red flags. AP correspondent Julie Walker.
One of those weapons, an AR-15-style rifle, police say he used at that parade outside Chicago. A seventh victim died yesterday, more than 30 wounded. Lake County State's Attorney Eric Reinhardt.
These are just the first of many charges that will be filed.
Authorities say 21-year-old Robert Crimmo planned the attack for weeks, dressed as a woman to get away, and passed several background checks despite a 2019 call from a family member who said he threatened to kill everyone in his home. Vice President Kamala Harris, at the site of the shooting last night, offering condolences, renewing calls for an assault weapons ban.
We got to be smarter as a country in terms of who has access to what.
Audio courtesy, Raininelli and WLS. I'm Julie Walker.
Russian forces hit Kharkiv with missile strikes overnight, the Kharkiv regional governor said Wednesday on Telegram. One person died and three injured, including a toddler, according to the governor. Russia's defense ministry said its air force killed up to 100 Ukrainian troops and destroyed four armored vehicles in Kharkiv. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz said Wednesday Germany must implement the transition to green energy faster because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Earlier Wednesday, European Union Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen said the 27-nation bloc needs to make emergency plans for a cutoff. This is VOA News. Since Tuesday, more than 30 governmental officials or aides have resigned following British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's most recent scandal about his handling of the case of a senior official accused of sexual misconduct. The Prime Minister is clinging to power after two of the most senior cabinet ministers quit. Johnson told Parliament Wednesday that he's staying as the country faces multiple pressures.
Well, that is exactly the moment that you'd expect a government to continue with its work, not to walk away, Mr. Speaker, and to get on with our job and to focus on the things that matter to the people of this country.
Health Secretary Sajid Javid and Treasury Secretary Chief Rishi Sunak resigned within minutes of each other Tuesday. Now new Treasury Chief Nadeem Zawahi Wednesday pledged to rebuild the economy amid senior government resignations and a fresh leadership crisis.
So it was my first day in the job. The conversation we had is my task is to rebuild the economy and to grow the economy. I will look at everything to make sure that we continue to be on the side of people.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration said Wednesday it authorized state-licensed pharmacists to prescribe Pfizer Incorporated's COVID-19 pill Paxlovid to eligible patients. Meanwhile, China starts a new round of mass COVID-19 testing. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Residents of parts of Shanghai and Beijing have been ordered to undergo further rounds of the testing following the discovery of new cases in the two cities. Restaurants have also been restricted to takeout only in one northern city, an area which endured one of China's most sweeping lockdowns under the hardline zero COVID policy. The gambling hub Macau has shut down one of its most famous hotel casinos after cases were discovered there. The strict measures have been retained despite relatively low numbers of cases. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The Secretary General of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, or OPEC, has died. Mohamed Barkindo died late Tuesday, according to a spokesperson for Nigeria's Petroleum Ministry and OPEC. The reason for his death was not immediately known. The Nigerian energy industry insider led the crude oil bloc since 2016. His role, representing the bloc of 13 nations that make up OPEC, took on even greater significance in past years amid a global effort to tackle climate change. And recapping our top story, a prosecutor said Wednesday that the man charged with killing seven people in an Independence Day parade in the suburb of Chicago confessed to police that he fired on the crowd. Via remote, I'm Diane Roberts, VOA News.
This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington, and here is what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
The drought, as our chairman has said, the worst in 40 years, has intensified food insecurity, dried up water resources, and forced displacement of people, raising tensions that could trigger new conflicts.
That was Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta on the impact of East Africa's drought. Details coming up. Also, the DRC and Rwanda have agreed to de-escalation process following weeks of rising tensions between the two nations. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. A UN investigator warns violence will increase and national reconciliation in the Central African Republic will remain elusive as long as corruption and impunity persist. The expert's report was submitted to the UN Human Rights Council today. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The independent expert on the situation of human rights in the Central African Republic presented his last report to the Council in March. Since then, Yao Agbetse says MINUSCA, the UN peacekeeping mission in the CAR, has documented 436 incidents of extremely grave human rights violations against more than 1,300 victims. They include conflict-related sexual violence and grave violations of the rights of children. Agbetse says nearly half of the violations were committed by state agents and their allies, the other half by armed groups that had signed the 2018 peace agreement aimed at ending the civil war that broke out in 2013. Unfortunately, he says, gross violations continue to be committed with impunity. He speaks through an interpreter.
If the current situation persists, the Central African Republic we'll see an increase in tension and social tension, which may lead to an even more fragile situation in the conflict areas. And the instability will give a new impetus to the armed groups who will take up their belligerent activities in violation of human rights and international humanitarian law.
That, he says, will prompt people to flee to other countries in the region and toward Europe. Agbetse calls combating impunity a priority. He says the population wants the state to investigate allegations of human rights and to start impartial investigations of human rights abuse with the support of the Human Rights Division of MINUSCA. He speaks through an interpreter.
Moreover, it's important that the government follow up on the conclusions of the investigations conducted by its special Commission of Inquiry, established in May 2021, into the allegations of atrocities committed by FARC and their Russian allies. The trials of the perpetrators of these violations and other serious violations must be started with no delay.
FARC stands for the Central African Armed Forces. The independent expert is referring to allegations of violations committed by Russian mercenaries associated with the private security company, the Wagner Group. They reportedly have been abusing and killing civilians in the CAR since 2019. The United Nations, several governments, and human rights groups accused the Russian mercenaries of war crimes and crimes against humanity. Both Russia and the CAR have repeatedly denied that the Wagner Group is in the country. In his response to the report, the CAR's Minister of Justice, Arnaud Djoubé-Abazene, made no reference to the Wagner Group. However, he told the Council the promotion of human rights and combating impunity and sexual and gender-based violence is at the heart of the government's priorities. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda have agreed to a de-escalation process following weeks of rising tensions over rebel fighting in eastern DRC. News reports quote the DRC presidency's office as saying they agreed to a roadmap to work towards normalizing diplomatic ties, including through ending hostilities involving the M23 militia in the eastern DRC. The announcement comes after talks held in Angola's capital Luanda today between DRC President Felix Tshisekedi and Rwandan leader Paul Kagame, mediated by Angolan President João Lourenço. The DRC has repeatedly accused Rwanda of backing the M23 rebels, a charge the small Central African country has repeatedly denied. The DRC's presidency office said talks will be held on July 12th in Luanda. Since March, the M23 rebels, a mainly ethnic Tutsi group that says it is protecting Tutsi communities, has seized control over several towns, including Bunagana, on the border with Uganda. Horn of Africa leaders warn that the region's worst drought in 40 years is exacerbating political instability. They are calling for urgent humanitarian intervention to contain the problem affecting more than 23 million people. Mohamed Yusuf reports.
Members of the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, a regional bloc that includes Djibouti, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia, South Sudan, Sudan and Uganda, met Tuesday in Nairobi to discuss humanitarian, political and security issues in the region. The humanitarian situation that has made more than 23 million people in Ethiopia, Kenya and Somalia food insecure took center stage at IGAD's 39th Head of State and Government meeting. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta said the countries in the region need to combat the drought situation.
The drought, as our chairman has said, the worst in 40 years, has intensified food insecurity, dried up water resources, and forced displacement of people, raising tensions that could trigger new conflicts. And we urgently need to manage the drought before it becomes a threat multiplier.
Some parts of the region have had four consecutive seasons without rain, forcing millions to move in search of food, water and pasture. Sudan's leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan said the drought greatly affects the region and people's lives. He said if we do not handle the drought situation, it is going to be the worst we have seen in 40 years. Drought is killing our people and livestock. The drought has also become a reason for our underdevelopment. Experts predict the region may fail to get any rain between October and December. Amina Abdullah is the regional director for the Horn of Africa at Concern Worldwide, an Irish humanitarian agency. She recently warned that without urgent humanitarian assistance to millions, the region risks losing 350,000 children to hunger. In Somalia, 8 areas are at risk of famine, and at least 200,000 children have died due to malnutrition since January. Climate change and conflict are also blamed on the region's food insecurity. Bankole Adeoye, the African Union's Commission for Political Affairs, Peace and Security, assured the IGAD members of the bloc's support to mitigate the effects of the drought.
Permit me to emphasize that the humanitarian situation, which has been further complicated by COVID-19 pandemic and by the drought being experienced in many parts of the region, is concerning, and the African Union herewith pledges African solidarity and collective responsibility. It is for us all to continue to fight the glaring effect of climate change in the world today. The African Union is ready to mobilize African and international partners to fight this scourge and to promote sustainable growth and development.
Humanitarian agencies estimate 5 million children in the Horn of Africa region are malnourished, with 30% experiencing severe malnutrition. The European Union ambassador to Kenya, Henriette Geiger, told IGAD leaders that efforts are being made to get much-needed food from Ukraine.
The security situation in the region is aggravated by the unprecedented drought in the Horn, and by Russian aggression, which caused the global food crisis. In Europe, we are working with the UN to transport grain out of Ukraine, and the European Union and its member states pledged over 630 million euro recently to strengthen food systems and resilience here in the Horn of Africa.
That will be about $648 million. The United Nations says it needs at least $4.4 billion to provide assistance until next month, but the donor support has fallen short of the targets. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
For a year or so, there has been widespread promotion of the new republic in Egypt. The opposition hopes the national dialogue that began yesterday will constitute a departure from President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi's domestic agenda, which has prioritized security and economic reform above all else. This includes freedom of speech and assembly, as well as tolerance of dissent. But Saeed Sadiq, professor of political sociology at the American University in Cairo, expects less progress, as he explained to VOA senior analyst Mohammed Al-Shenawi.
As you know, many regimes in the Middle East, especially those republican regimes, copy from each other. So you'll find in Algeria, Tunisia, Sudan, national dialogue, and even names, new names, like the New Republic. So the regime, after consolidating itself in almost 10 years, after a wave of terrorism and instability, they began to raise the slogan of a new republic. It started with declaring an end to the state of emergency and the National Strategy for Human Rights in 2021. The regime allowed some opponents living abroad return back and start the media activities, like Amr Hamzawi, who was in the States, and Yasser al-Hawari, who was in the Gulf. So this is the idea that the regime is promoting.
Liberal parties in Egypt are forming an alliance to activate liberal parties' role in the Egyptian political life. Would that energize political parties' activism if the sphere is genuinely open?
The liberals are natural ally to this regime, which builds its legitimacy on fighting the Islamists. So they naturally, they are allies. But to what extent are they going to allow them to run for elections and present a candidate to challenge President Sisi in the election of 2024? That is a totally different issue. So most likely, he would allow them to play on certain areas to make a balance with the Islamists, but not to the extent of replacing this regime that came since 1952. This is the officers' regime, as some political scientists call them. So they will allow liberals, but not to the extent of any replacement.
That was Saeed Sadiq, professor of political sociology at the American University in Cairo, speaking with VOA's Mohammed Al-Shenawi. You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. In Nigeria, gunmen attacked the Kuje Medium Custodial Center late last night, freeing hundreds of prisoners. Security officials say they have recaptured many of them. We have more from Abuja.
The gunmen who bombed the Kuje Medium Custodial Center gained access to the prison yard from the back of the facility. Security forces in the city say they have retaken control of the prison. Some Nigerian news outlets report between 300 and 600 prisoners escaped. Security officials say many have been recaptured, and officials say they suspect the Islamist militant group Boko Haram carried out the attack. Sporadic gunshots panicked some area residents during the attack. Witnesses say the attack lasted for over an hour and the attackers came prepared. A resident of the area, Victorson Abwenson, spoke to VOA.
People were still awake and milling around. That's why some residents were shot, alongside prison warders who were the actual target. You can see that the prison was bombed, and after they freed their members, that's the Boko Haram people who were being held there, they also told others to flee. And they instructed them that as they were fleeing, they should be shouting, Allah Akbar.
He said residents are living in fear as the security situation of the country has worsened.
We are aware that the security situation in Abuja had already become porous, so this will heighten it, this will make it worse, and residents are panicking. Many people are afraid because more insecurity will be unleashed on the people. And the government seemed to have become helpless and overwhelmed, unfortunately.
One prison employee is reported to have died in the attack. The public relations officer of the Nigeria Correctional Center, Abubakar Umar, said officers are investigating how the attack occurred.
Well, we may not be able to ascertain the remote cause of the attack, but our intelligence are on ground to mop up whatever happened last night. And I can assure you that once that is done, because it's part of the detail that I promise you.
Umar assured Kuje residents that the freed prisoners will be captured.
They should go about their normal business as the situation has been brought under control. While the fleeing inmates, we can assure that most of them will be recaptured because we have the correction now, which is the database of all our inmates in the Federation.
News reports say the Kuje facility houses former police commander Abba Kyari, who is awaiting trial on drug smuggling charges. Officials say Kyari is still in custody. The Kuje prison attack comes shortly after an attack on the security team of President Muhammadu Buhari on Tuesday in Katsina State, the president's home state. Two persons were injured. However, the president was not in the convoy when the gunmen opened fire. For VOA News from Abuja, Nigeria.
Southern European states, including Italy and Spain, are urging NATO allies to address threats from North Africa, as Henry Ridgewell reports from the Spanish capital. While the war in Ukraine dominates NATO's agenda, Madrid wants the alliance to prepare for other potential flashpoints.
Hundreds of migrants attempted to breach the border fence from Morocco into the Spanish enclave of Melilla last month. At least 23 people died. The migrants, mostly from sub-Saharan Africa, are desperate to reach Europe. Many arrive by boat on the Spanish Canary Islands, and Spain fears the pressure on its borders could be about to get worse. Ukraine is one of the world's top suppliers of grain. The Russian invasion has cut exports by around two-thirds. The United Nations has warned that will exacerbate an already worsening hunger crisis in Africa. Europe is readying for a spike in migration. Chema Santana is a migration advisor to the government of the Canary Islands. He said, we have been looking at whether there is more movement of people linked to the increase in prices, to the difficulty of these countries in accessing grain and wheat. And what we have been told is that for the moment there is not, but it is a matter of time. Madrid warns that migration could be used as a pressure tactic by hostile actors. A resurgent Islamist militancy in parts of the Sahel is also driving migrant flows. Europe says Russian mercenaries from the Wagner Group are exacerbating the conflict. Spain's Foreign Minister José Manuel Álvarez.
It's very clear that the Wagner company is there and that there are foreign troops in several countries of the Sahel. And definitely it's not foreign troops what the Sahel needs. What the Sahel needs, it's development and stability.
Spain is seeking international help. In March, it struck a deal with Morocco to secure a clampdown on irregular migration. Critics accuse Madrid of outsourcing migration policy to a country with a history of human rights abuses. The Moroccan government denies those accusations. At last week's NATO summit in Madrid, Spain secured official recognition by the alliance of the threats emanating from North Africa.
Una de las mayores preocupaciones...
Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez said, this is one of the greatest concerns for Europe and for our country. This is because of the instability and the crises that come from this. Irregular migratory movements, terrorism, food and energy crises and the climate emergency. Meanwhile, NATO and EU forces held exercises in recent days just off the Spanish and North African coasts. Residents of the Spanish town of Tarifa had a front row view of the drills. This man, who did not want to be named, said it is a very unstable area. It is a ticking time bomb. You know what the Maghreb is. Anything can come of it. A war, conflict. Spain insists it is not calling for any NATO intervention in North Africa, but instead recognition of what it calls hybrid threats. Many NATO members say the lesson from Ukraine is that the alliance needs to be better prepared for future crises. And here in the south of Europe, allies warn that instability in North Africa could be the next big problem. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, Madrid.
A judge has accused Rachid Ghannouchi, the leader of Ennahda, Tunisia's main opposition party, over money laundering allegations. A court already has imposed a travel ban last month on Ghannouchi over a probe into high-profile political assassinations that rocked the country in 2013. His party says the allegations are untrue and a result of distortion and fabrication targeting Ghannouchi for political reasons. He has emerged as the loudest critic of Kais Saied since the president seized broad powers last year, moved to rule by decree, and ousted the elected parliament in which the Ennahda leader was speaker. Earlier this year, Saied moved to take ultimate authority over the judiciary, replacing the body that guaranteed its independence and sacking dozens of judges. Saied has said his actions were needed to save Tunisia from years of political paralysis and economic stagnation. Ghannouchi's court date is less than a week before Saied holds a referendum on a new constitution that would broadly expand his powers while limiting checks on his actions. Ennahda says it will boycott the vote. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbil Yabaro, and our engineer, Rob McLean, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local